Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Aruba Tourism Authority, NY World Class Market, New England Regional Council of Carpenters, Hammer and Aruba All Inclusive Resort, Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, JetBlue, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, Brennan Smoke Shop, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Boxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And we are going for it. It's just that you still have to say, I mean, it's like every year you go for it, I think, as much as you can. Yeah, we're in. We're all in. But the all in is, to me, with what we have. And if you said, and I'm not going to use players' names, we'd have traded in this prospect or that prospect, we could have had this player. Well, that could have happened, but we just decided we did not want to do that. And you make those decisions every year.
That's Dave Dombrowski from back at the trade deadline. All in. We're all in. We'll get to that comment and the particulars of it in just a second here. But we'll open up the phone lines right away. 617-779-0985. And what has been, to say the least, an eventful week on the Boston sports landscape. We are all baseball on this program, as you know, and we've had a number of discussions this week about Dombrowski, about the Red Sox, the ramifications of his firing, all of it. And we will continue with it. We will continue with the things we've talked about earlier in the week. So for those of you who weren't tuning in earlier in the week, I'll tell you, for example, the way the Red Sox handled it. Sunday night, even if you believe all the elements that allowed the Red Sox to fire Dave Dombrowski in what was the middle of a work night for them, how do you not have a press conference about it? And then I asked earlier in the week, and I know a lot of you have strong opinions on it, how is it that the Red Sox have won four championships in, what is it, 18 years of ownership by this ownership group, and yet the popularity of this ownership remains low? I mean, I don't know that I would even call it popularity. The overall sentiment towards this ownership remains negative. We really like them more than we do. $250 million they pour into the team on a regular basis, or they did this past year. Not like they do it every year. But are a quarter of a billion-dollar payroll. Four World Series championships, and you don't like them. Why not? Why not? But despite all of that, and we've spent a lot of time on it this week, I want to begin with Dave Dombrowski tonight, because I think Dombrowski in some circles has become a sympathetic figure in this whole thing. And I'm starting to get irritated by it, honestly. I know, Murray, you find that hard to believe. But I there was a column by Bob Nightingale on USA Today, which basically laying out the case that how the hell are the Red Sox going to attract the next guy when they have fired their last two GMs within 2 years of winning a world title? In the case of Dombrowski, 10 months after winning the world title, they fired him. And Bob Nightingale then went on really kind of lambaste Red Sox ownership for the way they handled it, all of that. And I know a lot of us have similar sentiments. I know I hate the fact that the Red Sox did not have a press conference at this thing on Monday. I don't care what happened. You want to tell me the whole thing was some sort of convergence of of events that ultimately led to Dombrowski getting dismissed on Sunday night / Monday morning, and then the Red Sox issuing a press release on Monday? Fine. David Ortiz throwing out the first pitch. All of these things kind of piled together. You want to tell me that it was all just a matter of convenient timing? Fine. How do you not have a press conference? How do you not have a press conference and face the music and offer your side of the story? And it's not even your side of the story. It's an explanation. An explanation for firing the guy who runs your baseball operation. The Red Sox are entering a pivotal offseason. J.D. Martinez could opt out. Chris Sale could have elbow surgery. Mookie Betts might be traded. And they don't have someone there to make the decisions. and there's no one from ownership there to answer? But beyond all of that, again, we've spent a fair amount of time on that this week, and if you have strong feelings about it, by all means, I want to hear from you. But with regard to Dombrowski, who, again, somehow in major league circles has become a sympathetic figure, and I'm not sure that's true among the fan base or the fans here in Boston, but he's become a sympathetic figure, I think, nationally. Here's my question. Why did Dombrowski force the issue on Sunday night? Reports are out there, Sean McAdam, Peter Abraham, people have covered the team for a long time, that Dave Dombrowski went to ownership on Sunday night, sometime before the game or at the beginning, because he was on the field for a pregame ceremony. So he's on the field for a pregame ceremony, and then just within hours, if not minutes, word starts spreading around people who worked around the ballpark that Dombrowski has been fired and he's gone. The team then sort of runs into a tizzy and has to issue a release or to inform the media in the middle of the night that Dombrowski's been fired, and then the release comes out the next day. But let's go back to the first step. Dombrowski forced the issue. Why? Why would Dombrowski go to ownership on Sunday night, just before a game with the Yankees, a four-game series that spilled over onto Monday? Why would Dombrowski do that? Well, he wanted clarification on his status. There were rumors out there that he was going to go. Shaughnessy wrote a column about it, which Dombrowski answered, by the way, because Bob Nightingale had a story quoting Dombrowski several days later. Maybe it was a week, I don't remember. But Dombrowski addressed the Shaughnessy column with Bob Nightingale, who happens to be the same guy that wrote the column and supported Dombrowski last week. And again, I'm not blaming Bob. I know Bob, he's a good guy, and I know how it works. Someone gives you a story, you go with it. Okay? That's how it works. But you know what I think, really, when I weigh it out? Dombrowski wanted out. He wanted out of here. He didn't want to stick around till the end. He didn't want to sit there and get fired at the end of the year, because he's Dave Dombrowski and he's too dignified for that. That's what happened. Think about it. The story came out over a month ago. All of a sudden on Sunday night, over a month later, the Yankees in town, Dombrowski decides to force the issue. So Jimmy played the cut for you at the trading deadline. We're all in. We're still all in. We're all in until September, when I decide I want to get out of here, because you know what? September doesn't mean anything. The games suck. We stink. We're going to lose. So you know what? I'm out. I want to be fired tonight because I want September to myself. I don't want to work the whole year for my money. I want out. That's why he went to ownership. So look, this is one of those where Dave Dombrowski didn't quit because they fired him. But you know why they fired him? Because he wanted to quit. Or I should say, why they fired him Sunday? Because he wanted them to. He forced the issue. You know when you force the issue? When you know it's coming anyway, what am I doing here? So he wanted out. That's it. I'm out. Fire me now. So I can go do whatever it is that I want to do. That's what happened. That part kind of irritates me. Like he's this... Somehow Dombrowski was wronged in this whole process. And I would tell you that on paper, Dave Dombrowski deserved to be the GM of the team for another year. But the one argument that I always love is how people say, well, what do they expect? They brought Dombrowski in to do a job. He's a mercenary. He's a hired gun. He comes in, he spends your money, he trades your prospects, and he tries to win you a World Series. That's what he does. That's what he's always done. Agreed. So now if the Red Sox are facing different challenges, why should they feel bad about firing his ass? He's not the right guy anymore. If Dombrowski's going to be a hired gun, you know what happens to hired guns? When their time runs out and the philosophy or the priorities change, he's done. He's gone. See you later. So look, now I was disappointed with Dombrowski as an executive, and I also think his reputation is far, far greater than the reality. He built a championship team with someone else's money and someone else's players. Anybody can do that. I can do that. The question is, can you build it from the ground up? And you know what? The Red Sox don't have to build it from the ground up now, but they do have to start rebuilding it. Which brings us to the list of candidates to be the next guy. We'll get to that here in the next segment. 617-779-0985. We will kick it off tonight with Mike, who's in Needham. Mike, what do you got?
Tony. I'll tell you what I don't like about the Sox ownership over there. I don't like the politics. I mean, Henry comes out and says, oh, I couldn't deal with the fact that Yawkey had his name on the street and this and that, and just bash the Jimmy Fund, bash the Yawkeys. I hated that.
Wait a minute. How did he bash the Jimmy Fund?
Well, no, he didn't bash the Jimmy Fund. He bashed the Yawkeys, the Yawkey, he didn't say anything about the Jimmy Fund, but he bashed the Yawkeys. He didn't like the way, he couldn't live with the fact that he used to own the team and he had to change the street name. He had to change the subway law.
I mean, Mike, I don't believe any of that. I'll tell you what, I think that was one of his better moments as owner of the Red Sox. I don't think enough is written about the truth that happened with Tom Yawkey as the owner of the team. And so, you know what? I don't blame the Red Sox for wanting to distance themselves from that part of their history. I don't. In fact, I think the Red Sox have been a hell of a lot better during my adult life than they were probably during a lot of people's. You know, just look at the team on the field now. It's pretty diverse. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Eamon's in Brookline. Go ahead, Eamon.
Hi. I was wondering, first, thanks for taking my call. And about the possibility of a GM, have you ever heard of a man named Hein Bloom? He's the VP for the Rays.
I have not. Is that a real name, real quick? Can I ask you guys, is that a real name, or is this guy like stringing me along with some fake name?
I don't know.
GM of the Rays, can you guys just check that? Make sure. I don't know every assistant GM in every organization, and I don't want to. So, Eamon, I'll tell you what. I'm going to take your word for it because I don't think you're playing some stupid joke on me, but go ahead.
No, I promise you I'm not. He's the VP of baseball operations for the Rays. He's the one who really brought the opener to the Rays and the rest of baseball. I was doing some research, and I saw that he's on the short list. What do you think of an outside hire, such as him or in general?
Okay, so look, Eamon, it's a good question as to where they're going to go. And if you're telling me there's some new, innovative young mind out there that can get the Red Sox headed back in the right direction as far as their player development operation, I'm all for it.
Hein Bloom, that's what we said, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, 36 years old.
Okay. I couldn't make out the name, and I didn't know if he said something that he shouldn't. I have no idea. I can't even, I just want to make sure. Every once in a while, someone pulls a joke on a talk show host with a name they've never heard before, so I'd never heard that name. But if you're telling me it's some, again, I'm all for someone who is creative. Here's what I want the Red Sox to have in their next GM. Okay, I want the Red Sox to have a GM with a long-term vision and philosophy. And at the same time, I want them to have a GM who has short-term guts. So Ben Cherington, when he was the GM, Ben Cherington had long-term vision and long-term philosophy. I just question whether Ben really had it in him to pull the trigger and make an aggressive deal when it was time to make an aggressive deal. And I think ultimately that's what cost him his job. Now, Dombrowski was the opposite. Dombrowski had all the guts in the world to make a short-term deal because none of the players he was trading were his. He didn't care. Talk about a fly-by-nighter and just passing through. I mean, that's exactly what Dombrowski was. So the question is, where can you find that? Where can you find someone with a long-term vision who has short-term guts? Where do you find that guy? Sean McAdam of Boston Sports Journal published a list of candidates today, the first of which should not surprise you. And Dan Shaughnessy was on the Midday Show today, Zolak and Bertrand, offering his perspective on what the Red Sox should do and might do in their search for a new general manager or president of baseball operations. We'll share some of that with you, too, when we come back.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
He does want to come back here before his professional life is over.
Oh.
I mean, I know that. But
didn't you tell me it was too soon?
Yes, it is too soon.
You told me a week ago.
But you still have to give it a shot. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Yeah, shoot for the sky, man.
But I think you got to start with that.
He does want to come back here before it's over. He does want to come back here. Who is he? Mario, you want to take a guess as to who he is?
That'd be Theo.
Theo Epstein. Dan Shaughnessy today on the midday program talking about Theo Epstein. Jimmy, you know what? If we had that whole thing again, because I think he even says, I know that, right? I know that. Like, so I'm just curious as to the tone of it, that Theo someday wants to come back and run the Red Sox again. The question is now the time?
He does want to come back here before his professional life is over. Oh. I mean, I know that. But
didn't you tell me it was too soon?
Yes, it is too soon.
You told me a week
but
ago.
But he still has to give it a shot. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Yeah, shoot for the sky, man.
But I think you got to start with that.
I mean, again, I know that. That's what Shaughnessy says. I know that. Theo wants to come back. Don't they have to make that call? To me, that's where you start. Right the wrong. Fix it. Do I think it's going to happen? No. No, I don't think Theo's ready to get out of there. And even Shaughnessy says the timing's not right. Theo's got 2 more years left in that deal in Chicago. And he's probably not coming out of there yet. But you know what? Take a shot at it anyway. See if you can speed up the timeline a little bit. Offer Theo 10 years and a stake in ownership. The lunatic that I am, I did the math this morning. The Red Sox were recently evaluated. Anyway, whatever. $3.2 billion, 1% is $30 million. And that's going to go up. And if it really comes to it, give him 1.5%. I'm not giving him 2%, but I'll give him 1.5%. $45 million, $45 million stake in ownership, and a 10-year contract at $10 million a year. Theo's set for life. Give him that deal. We'll go over some of the other names on the candidate, list, including one that Mike in Rockland wants to bring up. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Tony. So, obviously, I agree with you about Theo. That was a huge mistake. One person I think not a lot of people talk about was Mike Hazen when he left a couple years ago. This season in particular, he became the GM for the Diamondbacks. They lost Corbin and A.J. Pollock in the offseason. They traded Goldie. They traded Zach Greinke. They saved a ton of money. They totally revamped their farm system, and they have a winning record right now. That's exactly the kind of guy you need right now.
Okay. So, look, Hazen's on the list, too. He's a former Red Sox employee. He's another guy that that they would consider bringing in. I sort of put him in the category of a younger guy who, you know, I mean, he's sort of in the middle. Hazen is somewhere in the middle, that he's a guy that has some experience but doesn't have the cachet of a Theo or a Billy Bean. And I'll tell you what, let me read to you now from McAdam's story. So if you're on the line, sit tight. I'll get to you in 1 second. McAdam lists 3 quote-unquote big fish that the Red Sox should take an eye at here, or aim at. Theo's number one. Jeff Luhnow, who's the general manager of the Rockies. Good God. What is wrong with my brain tonight, Murray? Luhnow's the general manager of the Astros.
Yeah, no one wants the Rockies GM.
Good God, like, really? I don't know what's going on. I'm distracted. So don't tell people why, Murray. You'll give away the big secret tomorrow. So Jeff Luhnow's the general manager of the Astros. Andrew Friedman's the general manager of the Dodgers. Now, here's a question you have to ask with candidates like that. After Dave Dombrowski was fired 10 months after winning a World Series, and Ben Cherington was fired basically 2 years after winning a World Series, less than 2 years, why would any of these guys, Theo with the Cubs, Luhnow with the Astros, Friedman with the Dodgers, why would any of those guys take the Red Sox job? Ownership now, whether they like it or not, and I agree with them on Dombrowski, but there is a certain stain there. Why would you work for these guys? Mike's in Dorchester. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, I just wanted to give you props of what you called a couple of years ago. Whenever Dombrowski got here, you said Dombrowski comes in, makes a championship team, but leaves them in ruins. And you called that to the T. I couldn't be more impressed with how you called that.
So, yeah, look, Mike, I'd like to take credit for it, but I think a lot of people said that. His MO, that's his MO. Everywhere he goes, he'll build a team with a championship caliber team with a lot of money. The 97 Marlins, the Tigers should have won one, but they didn't because, shocker, he neglected the bullpen. And the Red Sox, he won a championship here. But again, they were all high-salaried, high-payroll teams. And the young talent in the organization was generally there when he got there. Now, look, in the case of the Tigers, he drafted Verlander, but Verlander was the number two pick in the draft, or number one, I think. Beckett was the number two pick in the draft in Florida. So there were some picks that are just no-brainers that he made. But, you know, the reality is that the way to build a championship team, The easy way to do it is with a high payroll. He had high payroll everywhere he went. So the candidates who come here, ideally you want someone from a big market who knows how to spend money, and they're going to spend it recklessly in some cases. Theo signed plenty of bad deals. But the reason you can endure it is because you have a farm system. And if you keep pumping out those players, you'll be fine. Okay, you'll be fine. That's the challenge now for the Red Sox. Our buddy Tom's in Quincy. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Tony. I mean, I know it might be a stretch to get Theo, but I think you got to empty every barrel and do what you can to get him back here. Because the one thing, the biggest thing about before when he left is Lucchino's gone, right? And he's exactly the guy that I want to be the GM of this team again to deal with this Mookie Betts situation. Because he knows minor league talent. He knows how to draft and develop all of that. He is the exact person I want. The other guys, Friedman and the guy from Houston, I mean, I don't think Friedman's ever going to leave L.A. anyway, but I think you got to do whatever you can to get Theo back here, specifically for the Mookie Betts decision. That's just my call. That's what I'm hoping they go for.
Yeah, so Tom, look, again, that's the number one item right now on their agenda in terms of most important things. And again, we told you last night there are people theorizing that they're going to lose both Martinez and Mookie Betts. They're going to lose both of those guys. I don't know if it's going to go down that way or not. I hope not. I think that's losing too much. But if they're serious about getting under that $208 million, that would be the luxury tax threshold, and that's the lowest threshold. Okay, last year they went over the highest one, which was 246 or whatever it was. But the first one is at 208. If they want to get under that, and I think they do, I think there's some legitimacy to that theory or argument, then they're going to have to get rid of some players. Mookie's automatic, it feels like. J.D. Martinez and Mookie, to me, that's going too far. But as far as the president of baseball operations goes, the next decision maker, here's what I know. In baseball, there are a handful of franchises that are the elite of the elite. And not just based on how many championships they've won or what kind of success they've had recently. I'm talking about teams that have decades, more than a century of history, and have fans scattered all over the country like no other organizations. The Yankees, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Cubs. Murray mentioned the Cardinals the other night, and he's right. They're another one. And the Red Sox. Those teams, if you were to look at, you want to know who the most popular teams are in Major League Baseball on a yearly basis? Look up the leaders in road attendance. Not home attendance, road. That when they go on the road, they draw more fans than any other team that goes on the road. And you know where the Red Sox rank in road attendance? Usually near the top. The Yankees, Giants, Cubs, Dodgers, Cardinals, all near the top because they have fans all over the country and because of the meaning of the logo and the history and legacy and pedigree of the franchise, people will show up to see them play. Okay, the Red Sox are one of those teams. They are one of those teams. They should have a GM to match. Okay, so Dombrowski, for all of my criticisms of him, Dombrowski was a big name and a big-time GM. Theo became one. And remember that before they hired Theo, they wanted Billy Beane, who would have been a big fish at the time, too. I think they're going to go for a big fish. And I think that's the right call. Shaughnessy, Dan Shaughnessy, the Globe, a month ago when he wrote that he thought Dombrowski was going to get fired, speculated that Eddie Romero, who is now in the Red Sox front office, part of their management team, was their director of international scouting for a while, that he was going to be the heir apparent. Romero's not a sexy name. Shaughnessy gave an update on that particular item today on the Midday Show. We'll tell you what that was when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Big. I don't think it'll be one of the four people in the organization. You know, Eddie Romero Jr., Zach Scott, Raquel Ferrara, I believe it is. And Brian O'Halloran, who's really left over from the Theo regime. I don't think any of those people are targeted as the next guy, unless Romero possibly would be. I think those four, he would be.
So Raquel Ferrara, who is an interesting name.
They love her.
Because...
Ken, that was Dan Shaughnessy on with the Midday Show today, talking about the potential candidates to replace Dave Dombrowski as GM. We'll give you some more names from that McAdams story. But man, the week that was with the Red Sox, this is like, you know, again, nobody really cares about what's going on in the games anymore. How could you? Dave Dombrowski gets fired. Ownership doesn't hold a press conference. David Ortiz throws out the first pitch. It's just, I'll tell you, I'll say this. Relative to other seasons that come apart at the end, this one hasn't been that bad. The Dombrowski firing is all there is. Oftentimes, when the Red Sox fail and they fall short like they did this year, ooh, usually can get ugly over there. Finger pointing, you know, this guy didn't hold up his end of the bargain, and maybe there's more coming here down the stretch. But something tells me, maybe not. And you heard Shaughnessy say there, the interesting part of that statement from Dan Shaughnessy to me was that when Shaughnessy wrote his original column back in August, it was at the beginning of August, that he'd be shocked if Dave Dombrowski would be back as GM, he listed Eddie Romero as a probable replacement. We are now a little more than a month out from that first column, and he's now saying that in-house is not the preferred route, that they want to bring in someone from the outside, which I happen to think is the right move. Again, the Red Sox, an organization with that type of history, that type of fan base, that type of lineage, they deserve a big-time, big-name GM. They deserve that. I feel the same way about the manager position. And look, I mean, maybe it says something that Terry Francona and Alex Cora at the time were not necessarily big names, but they were championship caliber. And so the Red Sox got those right. And if they find similarly a GM here that is the right guy, even if he's not a big name, that's obviously what we all want. But in this particular case, boy, it'd be nice to have someone who has the balls to make a big trade when you need to make it, but also has long-term vision, and typically the younger guys are the ones with the long-term vision. Guys like Dombrowski, they just want to win championships and, you know, get rid of the next young guy. That, you know, just look at how Dombrowski operated. Ah, I've seen a million prospects. Ah, every pitcher has a bad arm. Well, look at the guys he brought in. Drew Pomeranz, Carson Smith, Tyler Thornburg, Chris Sale. They've all had injuries, every single one of them. He clearly doesn't put any emphasis on that. So I think he acts like a guy who knows it all. And that can lead to some recklessness, and I think there was a little bit with Dombrowski, maybe a lot. Ed's in Whitman. Ed, what do you got?
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Just give me one minute here. So I just think everything's kind of out of balance, and I think a lot of it has to do with knee-jerk reactions to things. And I think a lot of it should be put on management. We knew what Dombrowski was. He came in, he got the World Series, but he gutted the farm system, and he put a lot of money out there. And I think you are the one who has said it, Tony, in the past, and I agree. A team like the Red Sox, with the amount of money they have and what they can do, should be able to build and have a great team and also have a good farm system at the same time. And I think that's what you got to look for right now. But I think it's just been so out of balance with the moves between managers, general managers and everything, and knee-jerk, well, we got to win a World Series, and then we do. Oh, now we don't have, like, I just think it's a little out of whack. And, yes, I would love for Theo to come back, but I don't think that's a possibility. But I think they need someone in there that could handle that and be able to, at the same time, keep long-term and short-term goals in mind.
So, Ed, look, I don't think it's a little out of whack. I think it's a lot out of whack. I think it's incredibly out of whack. Again, their farm system sucks. It sucks. And I know there were stories out there this year that said, you know, they've gone up from 30th to 22nd or something. Great. 22nd, whoop-de-doo. So now they're in the bottom quarter instead of, or the bottom third instead of being dead last. Terrific. It still sucks. Like, Dombrowski's done nothing really to bring in significant young talent into the organization. Now, look, he got a couple of bad breaks in there, too. He signed a catcher out of Venezuela a couple of years ago, who ultimately was diagnosed with cancer and passed away. Highly touted prospect. That was bad luck. Okay, that one was bad luck. But his history is his history. And the Red Sox are now at a stage where they have to start rebuilding that player development operation again. So look, if they end up getting one or the other, the longer-term vision right now, sadly, is the priority. A lot of teams have to choose one or the other. And usually it's the teams with no money have to choose player development. They don't have a choice. That's the way they have to go. Oakland, Tampa, organizations like that, they don't have a choice. They can't spend what the Red Sox spend. But the Red Sox should be able to do both. They should be able to compete for big-name free agents when they need one. They should be able to go out and sign David Price when they need him, and at the same time be able to pump out players. Theo generally was doing that. It doesn't mean all the signings worked, but you should have the capacity to go out there and do it. Right now, they don't have the capacity to do either. They can't trade for a guy. They can't sign a guy. Right now, they can't do either. They're screwed on multiple levels. Tom's in Everett. Go ahead, Tom.
Tony, your question you asked, it's something that troubles me. For the life of me, with everything they've accomplished, I cannot understand why I cannot stand this ownership group.
So what do you think
it
is?
I can't stand them.
Why don't you like them?
It's from the, we only sign pitchers for long-term contracts under 30. Then it's, you know, the number of straight sellouts that we had at Fenway. Then it's, you know, it's the way they treat everybody when they leave, the way they treated Theo, the way they treated Francona. And now they top it off with Dombrowski. And again, I'm with you. I don't think Dombrowski deserved to stay, but I've never seen anything like that. I mean, in all your years, have you ever seen a situation where someone of this caliber, the president of operations, get fired and there's not even a press conference, there's a press release?
Well, Tom, I'll tell you, yeah, look, it's not unprecedented. I'm sure it's happened elsewhere. If I were them, I would pride myself on having the press conference. That's all. I would pride myself on sitting out there the next day or the day after and answering the questions and facing the music. I would pride myself on that. And again, when the whole Theo-Larry thing happened and Theo resigned back in 05, that was, Jimmy, right after the 05 season, at the time they held a press conference. In fact, I think Theo was there. Am I right, Jimmy? Was Theo there or was he not there?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
My recollection was Theo was there. And John Henry at one point said, look, when something like this happens, I question my own skill or ability to run the organization or to own the organization. I thought that was a really honest time, and there were people who criticized, well, how could you say that? And what, because it was honest? You never question yourself doing anything? Don't we all? He was new at it, at least in this market. And so I don't know what happened with Henry. I feel like, you know, sometimes I don't want him out there involved in baseball decisions. I want him to empower the people that he hires to make baseball decisions and get out of the way. What I want from an owner is, make sure you commit to the payroll, commit to the money, and accept the blame. And if you do that, I think you'll find that people like you, that they will actually support you. Now, look, you can't do it over and over and over again because eventually it becomes hollow. But I think there's a disconnect there with ownership in this town. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because they're not from here or, again, and it's not Henry's fault. He's not the most telegenic guy in the world. You know, he's extremely bright, so maybe socially that doesn't translate with people. I get that. I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think that. I just find it odd. You win all those championships, you pour that kind of money in the team, and yet you can't come out and answer questions about why you fired the president of baseball operations, whether it's him or Warner or Sam Kennedy or somebody should have been out there.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.